Chapter 49. Kip followed Grinwoody sullenly. Everything about the room was the same as always. Door, curtain, darkness. Andros Guile was already seated at the table. As Grinwoody brought out the superviolet lantern, Kip took a seat across from the old man. "Can I use your deck this time?" Kip asked.
"No,"
Andros Guile said.
"You play the hand given you. You're a bastard. You get the bad deck."
"Oh, I'm a bastard now. So you don't doubt who my father is?" Kip swallowed. He shouldn't have said it. But Andros Guile said nothing. He picked up his deck and began shuffling.
"That my son sired you has never been in question, you fool. Even your voice sounds like his. The question was whether your mother was a concubine or simply a whore. If he's claimed she was a concubine merely to vex me, I shan't let it stand. I know for a fact there was no marriage, and I bet you know it too."
"I didn't exist yet, so actually, no." Snotty. Dangerous, Kip.
"You still have that bandage on your hand?"
Andros asked. "Yes, my lord." His eyebrows lifted above the dark glasses for a moment. Oh, it's my lord now. Kip didn't know if he hated himself more for his earlier recklessness or for his later deference to the old buzzard.
"Take off the bandage."
Untying the knot near his wrist took his fingers and his teeth, but soon Kip had unwrapped the linen. The burns were healing, but the skin was pink where it wasn't white with scars, and his fingers were bent permanently. He could tighten them into a fist, but it hurt to even try to straighten them. The chirurgeon and Iron Fist both urged him to try, but it was agony.
"Put your hand out, bastard. I'm blind."
Kip put his hand on the table. The old man put his hand on top of Kip's.
"Please," Kip said. "It's very painful."
Andros Guile humphed. He traced his bony, pale, long, loose-skinned fingers over Kip's hand, heedless of the oily unguent. It stung, but Kip held still.
"You'll lose the use of this hand quickly if you don't stretch your fingers," Andros said.
"Yes, my lord, I know." Andros Guile turned Kip's hand over, palm down.
"You know. So you've chosen to become a cripple. Why?"
Kip clenched his jaw, swallowed.
"Because it hurts." "Because it hurts," Andros mocked. "You're ashamed. I can hear it."
"Yes, my lord."
"You should be. Keep your hand on the table. Scream when it hurts too much."
"What?" Andros pushed down on Kip's hand, flattening it slowly. Kip felt the new-formed skin at his joints tear open. A squeak escaped his lips, but he didn't scream. "I'm a big tub of lard, a shame, an embarrassment. But I am the fucking turtle bear. You can go to hell, Andros Guile, you old heartless, cruel." The ligaments in Kip's hand were on fire. His whole palm was touching the tabletop, but his fingers were stubborn claws arched up. And then suddenly, the pressure stopped. Tears were leaking down Kip's cheeks. He gasped and cradled his hand to his chest. Andros Guile said,
"That which you would have serve you, you must bend to your will, even your own body. Perhaps especially your own body, fat one. Did the skin tear?"
It was a moment before Kip could trust his voice.
"Yes, my lord."
"Smear the unguent back into the cuts. You don't want it getting infected."
With a trembling hand, Kip did.
"You know what I'm going to tell you next, right?"
Andros Guile said.
"Keep doing it all day, every day, so that it heals right," Kip said.
Then he felt another wave of shame. He did know what to do. He simply hadn't had the will to do it. Andros Guile didn't even have to say anything.
"You did well,"
the old man said instead.
"Huh?"
"You didn't scream. I expected you to. So this time, no stakes. A practice game. Next time is for your little friend, though. so I hope you're getting better.
With no further talking, Andros Gyle dealt himself his cards. 6 face down, 2 up, a stalker and a green warden. That meant he was using his green and shadow deck, one of his best. Kip wrapped his bandages loosely around his hand and drew his own cards from the pure white deck Andros had given him to play. Kip had played with it twice before, and he was finally getting comfortable with its strategy. His up cards were the Eye of Heaven, a power enhancer, and the Dome of Arikles. Kip cursed inwardly. No stakes. He'd just drawn this deck's best possible opening hand. His hand cards were good, too. He actually had a reasonable shot at winning. There were no choices for his first 2 rounds, and unless he drew something game-changing in the interim, all he had to do was survive until the 6th round. So Kip said, "When you say we play for my little friend, what do you mean?" Andros played Cloak of Darkness, making Kip's gambit much less likely, and said,
"That slave girl."
He seemed to be at a loss to remember her name. Kip didn't supply it for fear that he was being baited. Andros snapped his fingers.
"Addressed you," Grinwoody said quietly from the darkness.
Kip looked at him. The man was wearing odd, heavy spectacles Kip hadn't seen before.
"Addressed you,"
Andros said, as if he had remembered it, as if Grinwoody were an extension of himself.
"I'll buy her, and if you win, I'll give her to you. You can take her as your room slave. I don't imagine your village gave a boy of your dubious charms many opportunities for the pleasures of the flesh, did it?"
Kip's stomach turned. "And if I lose?" he asked, hoping to steer far away from those topics.
"She'll be my slave. Worry about that as you will."
His mouth twitched in a shadow of a smile. "Kip, I'm a slave," Tia had said. "You don't even know what that means." He did now. Kip was a fat bastard from the armpit of the 7 satrapies, but he had choices. Tia didn't. Other people might look down on Kip, but they didn't even see Tia. Or when they did, it might not be in the way she'd want to be seen. "What's your plan for me?" Kip asked. Kip couldn't see the old man's eyes through his dark, dark spectacles, but Andros's head cocked to the side, brow twitched, surprised.
"A question my own son would never have dared to ask. Are you bold or stupid, boy?"
"Both. And you're avoiding the question." Andros Gyle's lips pursed. He lifted 2 fingers, waved them forward. A fist crashed across Kip's cheek. Grinwoody. "May Orholam scratch out his eyes with sand." Kip had fallen out of his chair and dropped his cards. He picked them up slowly, regaining his composure.
"It's amusing once in a while, Kip. But I don't tolerate much disrespect. Remember or be reminded."
"So are you going to tell me or not?" Kip asked. He was treading the line and he knew it, but Andros Gyle let this one pass.
"It depends on how good of a 9 Kings player you are."
Kip was too smart for once to follow that up with, "But what's the end game, Rossi?" "Sure, the Gyles nearly rule the world, but prisms don't last forever. Your family's almost gone. What do you want?" Maybe Andros Gyle had been scheming so long that he didn't know how to not scheme. Maybe there was no winning, and he knew it. But losing was definitely possible, and his pride wouldn't allow him to lose. So he'd fight and fight and tear down 100 other families and keep clawing until they finally nailed shut his crypt under the Chromeria.
"I don't have that much left that you can take away from me," Kip said. "So how many more times can we play?"
"After a while, with nothing to lose, I'll only be able to win." But it was impossible to imagine Andros Gyle putting him in a position where only good things could happen.
3 more times,"
Andros said. He had thought of it, the old shark. Kip said nothing, and lo and behold, silence actually paid off.
"Once we play for who owns Adrastia, and then we play again for your future."
"I don't think I like you very much," Kip said.
"That's a crying shame, because I mean for you to hate me as much as you hate your mother."
"Don't," Kip said, suddenly cold.
"Excuse me,"
Andros Gyle said. "Don't," Kip said. Again, the head tilt, weighing Kip.
Your move,
the old man said. Kip made a mistake on the seventh round, not correctly calculating the cascading effect of the cards' abilities on each other, and watched Andros put together a brilliant series. Kip lost on the next turn. With a sigh, Kip collected his cards. It was, as Andros Guile had said, a practice round, without even timers, but Kip could have won. With luck, he could win against Andros Guile. It was possible even with Andros Guile's decks. Just unlikely. Kip flipped through the deck, seeing what cards would have come next, what might have happened if he hadn't botched it. How long do I have? Kip asked.
A drafter of your abilities. Maybe 15 years,
Andros Guile said, but he was grinning. He knew that wasn't what Kip meant. So Kip didn't take the bait, for once.
1 week, then we play the first game. I'll arrange it with her present owner. And you can fantasize about what you'll do with her if you win. Of course, you have to win first,
Andros Guile chuckled.
You think you'll free her, don't you? Truth is, you're not as altruistic as you think. No one who shares a drop of Guile blood is. Blood is destiny, bastard. Don't forget it.
Kip heard the words, but suddenly they lost meaning, blew apart into irrelevance. The art on one of the white cards was different than he'd remembered. Or maybe because he'd been studying miniature portraits of all the cards, he simply hadn't noticed. Heaven's Finger. It was a dagger, white, veined with black, with 7 colourless gems gleaming in the blade. It was the dagger Kip's mother had given him. He was stunned. Hearing Grinwoody whispering something in Andros's ear, Kip looked up quickly.
Helvang,
Andros Guile said.
You've seen it. Not the card. The real one.
It was a shot right in Kip's big, soft stomach. He started.
No, what are you talking about?
Helvang is its other name, Marrowsucker. The Blinder's Knife. You've seen it. I'm right, aren't I?
Kip said nothing, but he realized the last part wasn't to him. Grinwoody said,
He jumped when he saw the card, my lord. Definitely recognition.
He made no effort to hide the smugness in his voice. He'd been set up. Andros Guile had been playing him these games all this time, simply to lure Kip into a false sense of security, complacency. Kip had played the white deck twice now, and the card had never come up. Andros Guile had been content to play him again and again so that Kip would be off guard when it did. All that time so that Kip would give an honest, startled reaction if he had seen the knife before. It had all been a trap.
We'll talk more when you're ready, Andros Guile said. I know your mother stole it. I know she wanted to give it to Gavin, maybe in return for him making you legitimate. I want to know where it is and what my son knows about it. In return, I offer you the girl. Think about it. Not only will you get someone to warm your bed, which, face it, you have no hope of otherwise, but also a drafter's contract is worth a lot of money over the course of her life. Your tuition has been paid, but you have no other income. Maybe you can beg some scraps from Gavin if he remembers you, if you want to be a beggar. Otherwise, tendering her services is the only way you'll be able to keep from having to find a sponsor yourself. All for a few bits of information that I'm going to find out regardless. If I learn it from somewhere else, you'll get nothing.
Kip was out of his depth. Playing his wits against Andros Guile was like playing 9 kings with only 2 cards against an expert with a full deck. Kip's cards were ignorance and stupidity, not winners.
I'll see you in a week, Kip said. Have Tia's papers ready.
I intend to win,